read a passage from the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'll begin the reading with verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's reading from verse 23 and continuing through verse 30. Of the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now I want the young folks, some of them, to come up here and sing us a little special song right now. So I'm going to sit down here a little bit and give place to them to sing a song that I want right now.
Lord, give me a vision of how we to see the needs all around me, souls dying for thee. Oh, make me a blessing as onward I go. Please then, the Master.
Now, the reason I read this passage to you right now wasn't that I was mixed up in what I was doing. I knew what I was doing. I knew the direction I was going. But this lays a foundation for what I want to talk to you about this afternoon in regard to spiritual vision. Spiritual perspective. And what our spiritual vision is. Now in this case that I read is the institution of what we know as the Lord's Supper. Now the Lord's Supper has a very special signification in the Christian faith. It's one of the basics. Equivalent to a cornerstone in the Christian faith. And the Lord gave instruction that this should be carried out by the church throughout this Christian era, this dispensation of time, and that in so doing we showed forth the Lord's death until He come. There is such a thing as us doing things because we've been taught to do them, or doing things because other folks do them, but actually not knowing why we do them, what is involved in them, and why they are commanded of us. What part of a Christian life do they constitute? Now that seems to have been the case with these folks here in this passage. Paul was instructing them about the Lord's Supper and the purpose of the Lord's Supper and how to take the Lord's Supper. And these folks were doing this. They were observing this. Actually, it was commanded. Actually, it's a basic in the Christian faith. And they were doing it, but they just went ahead and withered and dried up and died anyway, doing a thing that they were commanded to do. I would like to instruct us now that anything that we do as a matter of form is detrimental to us. Even though it's a right thing. Even though it's a commanded thing. If it's an automatic with us and we do it as a matter of form, it's detrimental to us. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Whatever we do in the worship of God must be done in the spirit if we are to draw the essence from it and be blessed by it. These folks didn't discern what this meant, and they were doing it without discerning what it meant, and they went right ahead and withered and dried up and died. He said there were many weak and sickly among them, and many slept, just died. Why? Because they didn't discern something. Folks, if we're lacking in discerning of the will of God for our lives, we're not going to get out of the service of God what we should get out of the service of God. Therefore, we should open our hearts wide and humble our hearts before God and earnestly entreat Him to turn the light into our souls, to give us understanding on the basics concerning the Christian faith. Now, what these folks didn't discern was the Lord's body. This has a close relationship and connection with the Lord's body. But these folks didn't discern that, and therefore they weren't getting the life-giving essence out of it that they should have been. But I'm here to say to you now, that's what they didn't discern. We probably discern that. We've probably had enough teaching and indoctrination along the line of the body of Christ and the Lord's Supper and its intimate relationship with the body of Christ that we discern that all right. But they didn't discern it, and they withered and dried up and died while they were doing it, what they were commanded to do. But as I began to say that I want to announce to you now that anything on any line that we fail to discern of God's will and God's purposes for our lives will weaken us just that much. It will have an effect upon us. Sure, we'll be saved, and we'll be living for God the best we know and understand, but we'll not be getting the richness out of it that we would be getting if we understood more of the things of God and what God's will is for us and why we do the things that we do. Spiritual vision is what is much needed, and spiritual vision is what is much lacking in this day of time. Now, the Scripture says in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Whatever your life needs, God has it in His Word. It's right there. Amen. That the man of God might be perfect and thoroughly furnished to every good work. The Word of God lays a foundation for that. We need to go to the Bible. We need to be men of the book. We need to live in this atmosphere and breathe this air. And we need to be able to discern from the Holy Scriptures by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit what is God's revealed will to us. And it is there. Everything is there that your life needs to balance you up. Folks, God wants you and me to be sincere about what we're doing, and that we'll be earnestly seeking His will. And to know what His will is and what His purposes are. There's an inclination sometimes on some people's part, God forbid that it be on any of us, but it could be, to kind of shy away from God's Word. We kind of have a feeling that if I don't know then I'm not responsible. Well, I have news for you folks. You're being held responsible for before God for everything you ought to know.
Amen.
Everything that you have the opportunity to know. And if you're not getting in on it, that's your fault. You need to be seeking after God in sincerity, being sincere about what we're doing and not missing any opportunity to get in on anything that would help you in your spiritual life. Now in the 5th chapter of Ephesians in verse 13, the scripture says here that light makes manifest. Well, some folks say that's the reason I don't want too much light. It manifests too many things. All right, that attitude is detrimental to you.
Amen.
That kind of an attitude. My Uncle Sam Wilson, he was visiting his father, my grandfather, back in Cane Hill, Arkansas, at one time, and my grandfather had lived up on Skylight Mountain up above there and had preached the gospel up there to those folks. And so Uncle Sam knew a lot of those folks up there, and he went up there to visit them, visit around among them. And one of them said to him, said, "Sam, your daddy can sign this whole community up here to hell." Uncle Sam said, "Well, how's that?" "Well," said, "if he hadn't come up here and preached to us," said, "we might have gotten by on our ignorance. But," said, "he come up here and preached this to us, and we don't intend to do it, so," he said, "we're just consigned to hell, this whole community up here." Well, that's one man's attitude. There's a lot of kinds of attitude about living for God and serving God and understanding God. The Word of God said, acquaint yourself with Him and be at peace. God wants us to get acquainted with Him, understand Him, know Him and what His purposes are in our lives, to seek diligently after Him, to have an outreach for Him. Whatsoever maketh manifest is light. All right. I'll shy away from God's Word because that light would make me responsible. I'm responsible anyway. If I have access to the Word of God and don't avail myself of that access, I'm responsible anyway.
Amen.
That attitude's going to condemn me in the day of judgment. So let's don't fall back on that. But now, one thing that I'd like for us to understand is that the same Word of God that reveals and manifests to me what my duties are and what's required of me and what the commandments are, that same Word of God reveals to me what my privileges are, what opportunities I have. If I'm falling back because I'm shunning the light, I'm missing out on the knowledge of my privileges too, and my opportunities also. The Word of God opens up to us a broad spectrum of privileges, benefits, opportunities. Let me say this to you while we're passing this point, that if you set light by some of the commandments and requirements of God's Word, people use all kinds of means and methods to do this, and they say that was for another age or another time or another people. That's not for us. But if we set light by the commandments and the requirements of God's word and pass them off there for someone else in some other age or some other land or at some other time, then when it comes to me trying to grasp the blessings and benefits and privileges and opportunities that the gospel affords, I'll find a problem believing that too. I don't believe this part all that much, that it's that much binding on me. It's for somebody else. Then I'm just going to find a little problem believing that these blessings and benefits are for me. Maybe they're for somebody else too. But if we'll accept the instructions of God's word and the revelations of His Spirit concerning His will to us and walk in that light, then it'll just be natural for us to, when we read of the wonderful, glorious privileges and opportunities and benefits, they're mine too. They belong to me also. I'll get a hold of them dead easy if I'm diligent to walk in the light concerning my duties and responsibilities and requirements between me and God. Whatever God's word says, receive it like that. Face right up to it. I stand before you to testify to you that the benefits and the blessings far exceed all of the requirements and their binding power in our lives. And we're going to be much overpaid when we get through. Now, there are some things, and this is for a lack of light, knowledge, and understanding. But again, God help us all to be sincere about what we're doing and about serving Him. There are some things in people's lives that because of a lack of knowledge and understanding, they are not being charged to them as sin. They're not being cut off from God because of those things. Yet, they are contrary to the will of God, and God cannot bless you and me with them like He could bless us without them. If God blessed us in them just the same as He blessed us without them, we'd just go right on in them. We're just having a gay time, just going on having real enjoyment in our lives, and so we don't need to look about anything. Just go on having a good time. If God blessed you in those things, just like He could bless you without them, you'd never get out of them. You'd never know there was anything about them anyway. But you are being deprived of much of the blessings and the richness of living for God if you're having things in your lives that God does not approve of. It would be to all of our advantage if we could just see these things and get rid of them, be delivered from them. That's what I would admonish you to do this afternoon, is to seek God to reveal the truth to you. I pray much for myself and my brethren, you and me. My wife hears me pray this at our prayer sessions at home right along, and maybe you've heard me pray it from right over here. God, reveal to us the truth. Yes. the truth about ourselves. That's the revelation that we need individually, is the truth about ourselves. See ourselves as God sees us. Weigh ourselves out on God's scales. I'm out in joy. Many privileges in Christ that I'm not enjoying now because of a lack of knowledge of those things. I remember hearing Brother W.H. Shute tell one time about going into a strange town, and he went to a hotel and registered in there, and it was night. Nice weather, beautiful weather and balmy. It never occurred to him that he might need an extra cover in the night. So he never said anything about any or asked about any. He went to bed, and it came up a norther in the night, and it got cold. Brother Shute said he squirmed and turned and stretched out and drew up and ached and hurt and trying to get warm, and he spent a miserable time in that bed from the time it got cold until then till morning. And when the day began to dawn and the light began to come through and show in his room, he looked over there, and right at his fingertips, just on a chair right there within his reach, was a nice down comforter all folded up there that he could have had all that night and not have had all that misery. Now, that illustrates the point I'm talking about. Some folks just have enough religion to be a burden to them. And some folks are pretty miserable trying to live up to what they know in the letter of the word, just because they're taught that, or because the saints do that, or other folks do that. And they're trying to do it, but they don't understand it. And they're just kind of miserable. There's a scripture, and I don't know right where it is now, but I think it's in the Psalms. It says, "In thy light shall we see light." Now, that's a great scripture to me. In thy light shall we see light. It's kind of a strange thing to me. Creates a little question in my mind when folks can be among the saints for months or years, sometimes years, and still just coming up saying, "I don't see this. I don't see that. I don't understand about this. I don't understand about that." The text says, "In thy light shall we see light." Now what I get out of that is that what light I have and what I do understand, if I'm faithful to that and walk in that light, more light's going to open up to me as I go.
Amen.
Just walking in the light will open up light to us and reveal light and truth to us. Had a problem about something, and I don't even remember what that was now. And she hesitated about doing it, and she'd been admonished different times about measuring up and doing whatever it was. I don't remember. I heard her tell about it. Finally, she decided that that's what she better do. Just do that. Measure up to that. And she said she did. And I said, well, sister, how'd you come out with it? Oh, says, all right, now when I got to doing it, I could see what was in it. I could just see why that was expected or required of the saints. I could just understand it when I got to doing it. Walking in the light made it that way to her. In thy light shall we see light. And my exhortation to you is walk in every ray of light you have, and as you do so, more light will open up to you.
Yes,
as you go. There's a scripture in Isaiah, the 60th chapter, in verse 5. It says, then shall they see and flow together. Now that's something significant. See and flow together. Did you know a broader spiritual perspective and a clearer spiritual vision would help our togetherness in the Spirit of the Lord? Certainly it would. Just to have a clearer vision and knowledge of God's will and purposes for us, and the whys and the wherefores of the things that we do, why we do them, understanding of the things of God. The psalmist prayed, open now mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, every sincere heart ought to be praying like that. That ought to be our prayer continually. God, open my eyes that I can see the wondrous things in thy law. The great things that are there. Commandments, yes. Privileges and blessings and benefits, more. Just open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. In 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, in verse 17, this is the case where the Syrian army, the whole army of them now, went out for one man. They were all out there to get Elijah, the whole army of them. And when Elijah's servant woke up that morning and he looked out, he just saw the whole mountain rung with chariots and horsemen. They had them surrounded there. He was frightened. He said, alas, master, how shall we do? Elijah wasn't troubled at all. Elijah was seeing things he wasn't seeing. Elijah was knowing things he wasn't knowing. He wasn't troubled at all. And he just called on the Lord and said, open this young man's eyes so he can see. And God did. And he saw the heavens just filled with angels and chariots and horsemen, and always said, there's more for us than there are with them. But what I would like for you to think of at this point is that the things this young man, Elijah's servant, was seeing hindered him from seeing what he should have been seeing, what he needed to see. And many times it's the things we're seeing and looking at that hinders us from getting a good, clear, clean-cut vision of God, God's will, and His purposes for us. I've told you different times about driving down Interstate 5 here, down in California, and we passed Mount Shasta down there. Well, Mount Shasta is one of the big mountains in that chain. And you can see it for miles and miles before you ever get to it. But you get down there close to it, there's another little old knob. Compared with Mount Shasta, it'd just be a little knob along by the side of the road there. And when you start going past that, you can't see Mount Shasta. Well, Mount Shasta's maybe several times higher than that knob is, but you're right close up under that knob, and you can't see around it or over it and see Mount Shasta. It just hides the view. The things that God offers to you and me, I think of the people in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, about verse 32 or 3, in that area, someplace there, he says, they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, knowing that in heaven they had a better and an enduring substance. For they had respect unto the recompense reward. Yes. Now them folks, they were not allowing the things of the world that they were closest to, in a natural sense, to hide their vision of the spiritual and eternal things. They had a vision of them, in spite of these things that they were right here at hand with. And that vision so outweighed this, that they just took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. And that's what they were doing. Their goods were being confiscated and they were outlawed because they were Christian people, and their homes taken away from them and all their property taken away. They had such a clear, clean-cut vision of spiritual and eternal things that never meant anything to them. They just took it joyfully and went right on. Not many of us could do that, could we? Just not many of us could do that. But those folks' vision helped them through. It's vision we need. In the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning maybe with about verse 16 or 18, the Apostle Paul says, for which cause we faint not. Now we read about Paul and the things that he suffered and the hardships he endured for the gospel's sake. And they seem great to us, and they were great. He called them light. But the reason he could call them light was because he had a vision of something so much greater than what they were. And to compare with, that made these things light. And he had an eternal vision, spiritual and eternal things, till these things just seemed like a moment, just a fleeting moment. Now you know how time drags on your hands when you're suffering, don't you? And have you ever gone through a night of suffering when you couldn't go to sleep and rolled and tossed and pain and sickness and fever all through the night, and how long the night seemed and it seemed like morning would never come? You've been there, I have too. Well, Paul was suffering a lot and enduring a lot. But he had a vision. And his vision was eternal. The spiritual and eternal things. And by way of comparison, this is a fleeting moment. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment. He says, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed from day to day, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, how saints need a vision of things that the natural man never sees. We need that spiritual vision. Without it, we'll not make it. Paul said, that's the reason I don't perish. And folks, or fainting. Folks, let me tell you, we'll faint if we don't have it. We better just open our hearts wide and seek God to fill our souls with light from the eternal world. That will give us a spiritual perspective that reaches way on out yonder and far beyond anything that this world has to offer. Spiritual vision. Spiritual perspective. What?
He said, help us, Lord.
Oh, amen. Now the truth itself and our experience of it may be likened to food. It is not the food that you take into your body that helps you. It's the food that you digest and assimilate. Food taken into the body and that lies there in the body, undigested and unassimilated, is more likely to breed disease than it is to promote health. It is what is assimilated and digested. We need to seek God to regulate our spiritual system, our inner man, so we can digest and assimilate His truth up into our inner being and strengthen our souls with it and encourage us and feed our souls and be the staff of life to us. We have a text in the 106th Psalm in the 7th verse. It says, they understood not thy wonders in Egypt and provoked you at the Red Sea. Now that's significant. They understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They saw all of that. It should have just established them and rooted and grounded them solidly in their faith. But it didn't. The reason it didn't was because they didn't understand it. Understanding is what we need. Paul said in the first chapter of Ephesians in about verse 20, he said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. How much do we know about these things? Are they a kind of a legendary something to us? Are they a reality to us? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. God has the ability to open the eyes of your understanding. In the 32nd chapter of Job in verse 8, he says, there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. God has the ability to give you understanding if you seek Him for it. I want to call your attention to another point right here. People sometimes, God is dealing with them and they're in trial. Maybe they're in pain and maybe in affliction. God laying affliction on their loins and one thing and another. Ways that He deals with people. He's trying to get something to them. Dealing with them. Anytime God's dealing with you, He's trying to get something to you. But they settle cheap. They say, I don't know why this is, but God knows. God understands. Well, He does. He knows what He's after. It's all right for you to have that confidence in him, and he does know and does understand, but I'm here to announce to you now that there's going to come a time before that thing's over when you're going to have to know what's going on.
Amen.
You're going to have to submit yourself to God and let God reveal his will and purpose in you to you, that you'll know what's going on. He's got to have some cooperation to work out his purposes in you. Your soul, the consent of your will, is involved in every transaction between your soul and God. Your will has to act. And you're going to need to come to a point where you know what God's after and what he wants. What he's trying to work out in your life. And let your will act in regard to that before he can go ahead and do it.
Amen.
So we can't just permanently pass it off. Well, God understands everything. He knows what's going on. He knows why he's doing it. But it can never be worked out between me and God till I know why he's doing it. What is it?
I said that's the truth.
Yeah. And when I know what he's doing and what he's after, then I have the power to exercise my will in that. Say, all right, God, just go ahead. I'm here. Willing to receive anything you want me to receive. Willing to put away from me anything you want me to put away from me.
Yeah.
From me. Ready to submit to all your dealings with my soul. I'm here in full cooperation with your work now and your purpose. We have in the 13th chapter of Genesis, in the matter of spiritual perspective, this has always been a blessing to me. In this case, Abraham has been called to go out. He received the call in the 12th chapter. Go out from his kindred and from his house and go into a land that I'll show you. And so he got up and went. Now, folks, you know that's venturesome. A life of faith is venturesome.
Amen.
And that was real venturesome.
Yes.
For Abraham to get up and leave the shrines of his childhood and his father's house and all of his relation and everything, and go off and not even know where he's going. He had to believe pretty strong, didn't he? But he did, made one mistake in it. He took Lot with him. God had told him to leave your house and get out from here and go and I'll show you a place, but he took Lot with him. Well, they got over there, and Lot had herds, and Abraham had herds, and they had their herdsmen, both of them. And so the herds increased until there just wasn't enough pasture and enough water for all of them herds out there. And there got to be a strife between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen. And they were striving out there, one against another, for the pasture and the water. Abraham heard of it and he called Lot in. And what he said, oh, God, help us get a hold of this. Help us to get this perspective. If you don't get anything I say other than this afternoon, get this. Abraham said to Lot, he said, Lot, there shouldn't be any strife between you and me. And there shouldn't be any strife between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, because we're brethren. You get it? Strife doesn't belong among brethren. God help us to get that perspective. We're brethren. Strife just doesn't belong among brethren. And help us to recognize that and seek to resolve all of our cases and bring together our loose connections and just not have any strife among brethren. It doesn't belong among brethren. Now Abraham said something else that was great in my mind. He said, Lot, we're going to separate. Now he said, you take your choice. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Or vice versa. Whatever you choose, I'll take the remainder. Oh, Abraham was a big soul. God help you and me to be enlarged in our spirits and in our hearts. Paul said his heart was enlarged toward those Corinthians till he could just take them all into his heart. You're in our heart to live and die with you, or die and live with you. I can just take every one of you with all your burdens and all your heartaches and all your shortcomings and all your faults and everything. I can just take you all right into my heart. Enlarged. We need our hearts enlarged. Abraham was a man with a big soul. He could have said to Lot, and it would have been right. Now Lot, all of this belongs to me. God called me, didn't call you. He called me, and this all belongs to me, and now you're going to have to go and wrestle for yourself. He could have said that. And that would have been true. But instead of that, he just said, Lot, take your choice now. It's whatever you take, I'll take what's left. Lot looked off down there toward the plains of Jordan. There's well watered everywhere, and that looked pretty lush and pretty wonderful to him. And he said, Abraham, I'll take this. He didn't say it in so many words, but it amounted to, you do the best you can with what's left. I'm going to take this. He took the best. Well, you know the story of Lot. I'll not go into that. And the trouble he got into, and he lost his family down there and everything. But the thing I want to look at now is Abraham. After all this is over, and Lot's gone, Lot's made his choice, has taken his herds and his herdmen on down the line, and Abraham's standing out there. Maybe things are going in his mind. Maybe he's wondering, what am I going to do now? How am I going to come out? The Lord came and spoke to him and said, Abraham, lift up your eyes now and look from where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, and all that you see, I'll give it to you. Look from where you are. Folks, that's the only place you can look from. You can't look from the mountaintop if you're down here in the valley. You have to look from where you are, and what you see is all you get. God said, all that you see, I'll give it to you. We get what we see. What is revealed to our souls as God's will and purposes for us, we can possess that. He said in the 12th chapter of Luke, verse 32, said, "Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And let me tell you, when you get the kingdom, you get everything in it. But you have to see it. We're not going to get anything we don't see. All that you see, I'll give it to you. Look from where you are. Folks, get on an elevated plane. Rise up above the quagmires and the low plane of the self-life and the flesh life and the things of this world and things that fog and dim your vision, and get up on to Mount Zion, where the air is pure, ethereal, where the roses bloom eternal, and where the sunlight of God's love is continually shining through in your heart, and where you can get a far vision out there. Everything you see, you're going to get. Let's climb to higher elevations. Let's get up out of ourselves. Rise above ourselves. Climb to high elevations where we can see far horizons. One airline company gave us a brochure when Opal and I were planning our trip to Nigeria. And one of them gave us a brochure, and it had on the front cover far horizons. And I kind of latched a hold of that. And I've been advocating that and calling out to the mind of the saints numbers of times since then. Let's reach out for far horizons. Things way beyond where we are. Where we can lay hold upon the heights and lengths and depths and breadths of the things of God. I dare say that they're beyond what any of us have ever experienced yet. There are higher heights, deeper depths, longer lengths, broader breadths than any of us have ever experienced yet. The sky's the limit. Just keep going. And it'll keep opening up to you more and more of the spiritual and eternal things that belong to the children of God. Amen.